Shamsi was very receptive, I thought, before, after the Siyam. He came up to ask me if there's going to be a Musa Seder today. So I said, why not? I thought, like, it's like, you know, like Erev, the off Shabbos. You know, we're very... One of the things we learned from the Goyim is to be very, very mocking about our holidays. So I said, why not? He said, because we just heard by the Siyam. We just heard a Musa Shmuz. And that's him, he's right. There's no such a thing. I'm saying a person after hearing a Shmuz, he should have what to think about for a few days. I'm saying already the fact that we do it every day is already a big kasha. It's already hard to digest. So Taka, I was just curious. Taka, I'm curious to hear. Will you buy the speech? I wanted to start with you. What the Ayam's impression from that shmooz was, from Rabbi Radner's shmooz?
I thought words can't describe it.
What do you mean?
I thought it was amazing.
It's what actions?
Similar.
What? So you felt like a motivated similar. Did you hear the shmooz? And well, what do you mean? I hear that. You there? What? Yeah. What? What did he say? What? No, it wasn't. That's why I'm asking. What? So you're complimenting the not typical Waterbury shoes. See, you're complimenting the not typical Waterbury shoes. What do you mean? No, the normal Waterbury shoes is not the way it is. Yeah, you like this better.
Nope.
What? So you feel like it was a positive thing? Yeah, so what do you think? What? It's scary? What do you mean? So what's the Lamaisa? What do you think? You're saying you think tomorrow is going to be different? I'm talking about you. We're scared to admit that that's the way it's supposed to be, so therefore we just brush it off. And how do we brush it off? And what do we say?
As much as he says he's not anywhere, he's not that anywhere. As much as he is, you know? He has to ask mother, I don't have that.
What? So you know what the Eitz Hara is gonna say, but you're just not buying into it. What do you say?
It's what yeshivas should be. I don't think it means. It doesn't expect anybody tomorrow. Okay, I'm finishing Shas. It's impossible. It's what yeshivas should be. You should want it. You should realize that it's possible.
And will tomorrow be different?
Obviously. Every single thing changes.
What?
I'll still listen to it
some more times, right? Yeah. Is
that
the happy one
there?
Yeah? He's not a genius. I don't know why you think he's a genius. What? Aha, the secret is out.
Is that maybe he became a chess master because he learned? Chess.
Okay. I don't have that much to add. I'm just. I also thought it was a very. I agree with you. I thought it was a very good breath of fresh air. Also.
I think the way he gave it over.
It was good to see somebody. I'll tell you what my impressions were. I also got a very big chizuk from it. I thought, first of all, it's good to see that there are actual human beings that finish Shas. In other words, he presented himself as a human being. Like, he was talking about his feelings and things like that. Like, until now I thought just machines finish Shas. Now I found out that a human being could finish Shas. It was a chiddush to me. That's first of all. And just in terms of what you were talking about the Waterbury Mahalach, not the Waterbury Mahalach, if there's such a thing as the Waterbury Mahalach. A very, very, very important thing. Very, very important thing. There's a little bit of a. You need a little bit of maturity to be able to balance this out. There's a little bit of a pulling here in two different directions. That it's very, very important for people to be makir. And that is like this. You're right. What if every shmooze in the yeshiva was like that? It's not just that it would not be effective. It's that it would be destructive. It would be destructive. For every shmooze like that, you can be sure that Rabbi Kalish is going to make sure to do 20 or 30 shmoozing exactly the opposite, at least. Not that Rabbi Kalish wasn't blown away from the shmooze, I think he was. And not that he disagreed with it, I think he agreed. And not that he thinks it's not a chizuk, I think he thinks it was a chizuk. So I just want to explain a little bit this thing. It's not one mahalach and a different mahalach, it's not what it is. It's Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. It's all one Mahalach. I'll explain to you what the Mahalach is. The Mahalach is like this. Every person has different koyaches. True. And some people, and everybody could finish us. Not true to say that everybody could finish us. And what he said is right. In a few weeks we're going to be by a Siyam where many, many, many thousands of people finish us. Everybody could finish us. But not everybody could make a decision today to finish us. I don't mean to finish us today. Not everybody can make the decision to finish us and to make that decision today. Not everybody could do that. And some people the pressure could be very, very motivating. And for some people the pressure could be very, very damaging. And for some people hearing shmoozing like that could be oppressing. And for some people hearing shoes like that could be mamish, like you say, like a breath of fresh air, and you know, lighting a fire, you know, giving us his phylus. I think in terms of a perspective on it, and that's why that's why I wanted to read a little bit. Vayta and Sils Yisharim. Avad, it's very important for a person to know himself. And if a person is not comfortable with where he's holding in his Avodas Hashem, and comfortable with where he is, and with what he could accomplish, shmoozing like that either don't accomplish anything or cause damage. And that's really what, if you think about it, that's really what, you know, in this yeshiva we try very, very hard, that to make sure that people are healthy, first and foremost. People are healthy. Healthy, happy, have a good feeling about themselves, and so on. So if so, where's the place for such a shmooze? What do you mean? Maybe people are going to be, come on, healthy. We have to be careful. I'll tell you where the place is for it, and I think also that will explain why when we're healthy and we're happy and we're doing good and we're shtarka chabura, why we enjoy hearing that type of shmooze. The pshat is like this. There's two reasons why I'm not deciding to learn 24 hours a day today. There's two reasons. One of them is a valid reason and one of them is an invalid reason. The valid reason is that right now I don't feel like I'm on the Madrega to be able to do that. That's valid. I have to go step by step Kafi Madregas. I can't jump from becoming a person who learns 1 hour a day to a person that learns 24 hours a day. That's valid. But what's not valid is that part of the reason why we don't learn as much as we should is because it's not in our head, such a thing. We pasha don't have a musig of it. When we hear that there's somebody who stays ben asdarim to learn, and we don't stay ben asdarim to learn, for example. There's two reasons why we don't stay ben asdarim to learn. One is that we thought about it and we decided that we're not holding by staying ben asdarim and learning. And one reason is because we don't have in our head that there's such a thing that people do that to learn. It's not in our head such a musik. It's such a reality that people actually put in those kind of hours to learn. When we hear that someone finished the Masechta, someone learned two blad a day, so it could be that I don't do it because I don't feel ready to do two blad a day, but more likely I don't do it because it never occurred to me that it's possible to do two blad a day. It just never occurred to me that it's possible. It never occurred to me that such a thing could be in my life. It could be part of my life. A regular, normal person could incorporate this type of, these type of steps into their life. And that's true with any siyum that we go to, or any shtarka shmuz, like this style shmuz that we hear. The idea is not to push me beyond what I can do. The idea is to make me ask myself, and to ask myself very, very honestly. That's why I was asking you if tomorrow's going to be different. Am I really doing everything within my madrega? If I speak to someone and that person tells me that he never, ever, ever says a word of batala during Seder, so I'm going to be blown away for two reasons. I'm going to be blown away that person is such a starker person, but I'm going to be blown away that it's possible for a regular guy in yeshiva to make a decision not to talk to Aaron Batala in the middle of Seder. You understand what I'm saying? The musik, that gives me like the idea that there's such a musik. It's possible to do such a thing. If a bunch of Bachar will decide that from now on Thursday night they're going to start staying up the whole night at davening v'sikin, and learning the whole night, not staying up the whole night, it's not a kunst, learning the whole night and davening v'sikin, that such a thing might be mechazik the yeshiva if it's done the right way. Such a thing could be mechazik the yeshiva, again, not because it will push people to do it more than their madrega, but because it will give people a musig of a type of learning that I didn't know was possible to do. I remember one time I wanted to finish a Masechta, I'm a Bechor, I wanted to finish a Masechta for Erev Pesach. And I was trying to finish Bava Kama. It was the year I got married. I got married like 5 months before, 4 or 5 months before. I was trying to finish Bava Kama. And I had like 16 blot left. And I learned the 16 blot that I had left in like 3.5 days. And Mamish, I was learning late at night, and I was like, I was completely just Bava Kama, just reading, learning Bava Kama, Bava Kama, Bava Kama, Bava Kama. It was the first time I finished Bava Kama. And in the end, I was asking myself, and it's funny because he was Maramis, that type of a thing. I was asking myself, like, am I going to really remember what I learned, 16 blad in 4 days? Am I really going to remember it? Am I really going to, and so on and so forth. Was it really worth it? And I came into Pesach, and I'm sat there by the Seder, ready to plot. Like, is it really worth it? And I'm not really so into it. So I started asking myself 1,000 questions, like, it was really the right thing to do. But in the end, whether it was the right or wrong, in the end, what I was happy about was that I never knew that I could learn 16 blad in 4 days. I never knew that I could do that. And now I know that there's such a thing in my head, that such a thing is possible to do. Like, now it exists. It's on the horizon. It's a real thing. It exists. It's possible to learn a lot of blad in a few days. That was a healthy thing to know about myself. So that's the balance, I say, they're pulling in different directions. That's the balance, and that's the answer. So that's the different types of shmuzin. They're both important. A person has to know where he stands and what to demand from himself. But that doesn't bother him from thinking, we have Leil Shabbos in Yeshiva in the winter. Leil Shabbos in Yeshiva is like, the Suda's over, it's 7:30, 8 o'clock, is a whole night ahead of us. So we can go from house to house, and we can take drinks in every house, and shmooze, and sing, and so on. We could do that. Or we could decide, you know what, I'm going to spend an hour and a half, 2 hours learning first. So maybe even 3 hours, maybe 4 hours. I'm going to learn. Again, I think it's such a true thing. Part of the reason that we don't come learn is because it's not in our head the idea of learning seriously. Leil Shabbos, if you go into the near, Leil Shabbos in the winter, Yerushalayim, you go in and there's hundreds of people after the Suda sitting and learning, suddenly it becomes a reality. That's why I'm so grateful that I was in Eretz Yisrael. Suddenly it becomes a reality to you. Hey, this Taka Mitzvah Talmud Torah also in Leil Shabbos. This Taka such a thing. The reality exists. It exists, such a thing. When you speak to somebody, when you hear a person say, Hadron Allah Shas Babli, Hadron Allah Shas Babli, I was talking to someone afterwards, they said, can you stop saying Shas Babli already? It was like, it was hurting them. You know, it's possible to finish Shas. A he's a genius, he's not a genius, but a basar v'dam, an Aral Beis Medrash, a father, a husband, a regular person, it's possible to finish us. It's on the horizon. It's a reality to me. So now I have to ask myself, avada, I shouldn't push myself too much. All those shmuzen are true. Avada, I have to be on the madrega and so on and so on and so forth. But okay, that's all true. But let me ask myself, is the reason I'm not doing just because I'm not thinking of doing it? Because it's not on my plate such an idea? What would be so terrible if I tried such a thing? We don't think of it sometimes. I remember when I was younger, sometimes my father taught me this Gevaldige thing when I was young, and I didn't even realize what a good lesson it was. My father has this mahalach, especially there were years that he had such difficult tirdus that it was mamash very hard for him to find any time to learn. So he used to just take svarim, any sefer that interested him, and learn it cover to cover. And I remember he went through Mara Nevuchim cover to cover, Shla cover to cover, Shuach Sam sefer cover to cover. He would just go through cover to cover. My father is a shtekel iluyish, and he would just read through page after page, Asara Mamoris Naramami Panu cover to cover, Pachad Yitzchak all seven svarim cover to cover. You know, he just read through svarim. That's how I grew up. He find an interesting sefer, he would get the sefer, the tshuvas of the I forgot, one of the Minchas Elazar, the Chubis and the Siddur, you know, the all different things, the Sephardish, Zachin, Chassidish, Ashkenazi, Hungarian, whatever it was. We just read through Svarim. So I grew up, I also wanted to do, you know, people like to imitate what they see. So I also saw one of the Svarim that my father had gone through when he was younger was the Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidus written by Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, it's a Sefer written by Rishonim. So when I was in high school, I brought to the dormitory a Sefer Chassidim, and I had it by my bed, and the night before I went to sleep, I would learn a little Sefer Chassidim. I eventually finished the Sefer. And I remember that my friends were like, why are you learning Sefer Chassidim? And I was coming from a completely different chinuch, and I was like, why not? They're like, who told you that you should learn Sefer Chassidim? I was like, I don't know, I was curious about it. And I talk, you know, and I have it, you know, I take a sefer and just like start the sefer. I have in my house, I have place marks of 7 or 8 svarim, and I'm in different moods, you know, when I have to go wait for the car to be fixed to the mechanic. I'm like, okay, so which one will it be? Will it be the Pirkei Rabbeinu that I'm in the middle of? Will it be the Michtam Eliyahu that, you know, what will it be? You know, it's just like it's reading. What will it be? Which sefer? I'd be like, who said it? Who said that you're holding by it? Who said that you should do this? It wasn't a godless on my part. It was what I saw at home, but like. You don't have to be, nobody has to tell you to learn a sefer. You don't have to be on any madrega. You just have to be curious about the sefer. You can be curious about the sefer. You can hear a couple of good verbal from the sefer. Take the sefer and learn it cover to cover. It's not such a hard thing. You keep it by your bed. You learn a little bit a day. Eventually, it's impossible physically to turn a few pages a day and not to finish eventually. The physical matzias is that you're going to finish eventually. And that's it. I think Zevi was around one year. I said at the beginning of last year, at the beginning of Elzman, Zevi walked in. I said, Zevi, this summer, I'm learning Yeshaya. Remember? I'm learning Yeshaya. I'm sick and tired. Chazon Yeshaya ben Hamitan. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm learning Yeshaya. And over the year, little by little, it was nothing. It was nothing. It was a few psukim. I skipped a lot of times days. It was nothing. It was easy. Mitzudas Rashi was easy. And then it took me, I expected it to take 3 months, it took like 14 months, but I finished Yeshaya. But again, it's what I saw at home. My father used to read through Nach, Mishnayos, and these type of things, what I saw at home. I'm just copying. But the Musik, I realized, there were times that I had to call back my father and say, Yitaka taught me something. Yitaka taught me something. Like, what I saw was Taka something. If you want to learn something, so just learn it. Nothing's stopping you. Just learn it. What? I'm not talking. Did I say anything in my first day, the second day, the ninth day? There's a lot of other times. Did you ever notice that? There's a lot of other times. And then there's when I'm having a shmacha time and I'm having a little bit of yirid and I want to do something else. I know people and I myself have done it. I have an off Shabbos now. It's 3-4 days. What am I going to do? You know what I think I'll do? Hiris is 8 blot. I think I'll learn Hiris. It's 8 blot. You can't learn 8 blot in 4 days? It's 8 blot. But broaden your creativity. Be creative about becoming a Talmud Chacham. It could be done. One of the things that he said that I was the most impressed with had nothing to do with finishing Shas. When he said he went to Yeshiva and he retained his own identity, decided he's going to finish Shas and become a lawyer. At that part of the story. I respect the guy. He retains his identity. And eventually he changed, and now he has this identity, and he retains that identity, you know, each step of the way. But I respect a person who's creative, who does what they want, you know, breaks down these silly barriers that we have in our head of limitations that are non-existent. So you understand that there's no steer in the different malachim. We try so hard that people shouldn't feel like they have to jump madregas and so on. But how many times is it taka in our madrega? We're just like, what, you're learning after the Suda? Why are you doing that? We don't learn after the Suda. We go knock on people's doors after the Suda. That's what we do after the Suda. We just don't do that. But why don't we do it? Are we going to get burned out if we go learn after the Suda? Are we going to become, it's going to be too much? We're just going to be, people are just going to be fizzling out over here if they learn after the Suda Friday night? No, it's just like, we just don't do that. You know, sometimes it's be like, maybe we do that. Maybe we do that. You know, someone will give a schmooze, and you know, like, if something, Rebbe Kivager is bothering you, this person should stay up at night and harv over the Rebbe Kivager. You're like, oh, very nice. Yeah, maybe one day. Maybe tonight. Maybe tonight. Again, Madregas, that's a separate schmooze, but maybe, like, did you ever think, maybe tonight should be the night to sit in harv on a sugya? Maybe tonight. Maybe tomorrow. That's the part that these schmoozes are so important, and that's what I think is such a chizuk, that we have to open our minds to the possibilities, the endless possibilities. There's so many chalokim of Torah. There's 24 hours in a day. There's 7 days in a week. It's an off Shabbos. We're not supposed to learn over an off Shabbos. We just know we're not supposed to. We're supposed to show up late after Shabbos. We're supposed to come back to Yeshiva late. That's the thing. We're supposed to not have a ride and everything. That's the thing. I don't have to do the thing. I don't have to do the thing. Just to be creative. To be creative, to be thoughtful, to not let life just do its thing to me. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do something with it. We have a Thursday, Friday, Thursday is a very short second Seder. We're going to have a shir, and that's the end of second Seder. So we have Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday, 4 days. A person could change his own life in 4 days. Who knows? Make a project. Maybe you want to chazal the 6th parak above Metziah. That's a project. Sounds a little crazy to chazal the 7th blad over 4 days. Try it. You see, maybe it's possible. Try it. Maybe it's exciting. Maybe it's possible. Maybe go ahead. Maybe do something else. Maybe learn a Michtam Elio. Maybe decide to open up a Tshuva Sefer somewhere and see what it's like. Maybe open your minds a little bit. Things could be. We create silly limitations, then we're bored, right? And we're bored, and it's not exciting, and we just want to get out. Of course we're bored. We create a box, and we sit in this box. Let's flex our muscles a little bit. That, to me, that's the godless of these rules. And we have to keep the hasogas of what's possible. You know that it's possible to stay up late and learn? Do you know it's possible to wake up early in the morning and learn? Do you know it's possible to learn on Shabbos? Do you know it's possible to learn even on off time? Do you know that it's possible to learn all different kinds of svarim? Do you know it's possible to understand all different kinds of things and to speak with all different types of Talmidei Chachamim? There's a lot of possibilities. There's endless possibilities. I think tonight, and that's why I'm just continuing this shruz from today. I think tonight we all have to ask ourselves, are there, within our madriga and within our learning, where are we missing possibilities?